Strange Conflict by Dennis Wheatley. The Duke de Richelieu and Sir Pellinore Gawain Cust had gone into dinner at 8 o'clock. The war had been in progress for many months, and incendiary bombs having fallen in Curzon Street just outside the Duke's flat had caused an interruption of the meal while they went down to lend a hand in extinguishing them. They returned to the table as though nothing out of the ordinary had happened. Both had been blessed with an ancient name, good looks, brains, and charm, which made them outstanding figures in the European society of their day. That day was passing, but they regretted nothing of their tempestuous early years when they had fought and loved to the limit of their capacity, or the quiet period that followed, during which they had dabbled most successfully in high finance. It is doubtful if Hitler had two more inveterate enemies. These men had loved their lives, and it meant very little to them now if they lost them. Neither acknowledged any master except the King of England. They said what they thought, and used every ounce of power and prestige they possessed through their many contacts in high places to force the pace of the war, regardless of all considerations except that of victory. The Duke's man produced the long Hoyo de Monterrey cigars, which were his master's especial pride, and as Max left the quiet candle-lit room, the anti-aircraft guns in Hyde Park came into action, shattering the silence. Sir Pellinore said, "When do you stay here with this damned racket going on night after night?" De Richelieu shrugged. "I don't find the bombing particularly terrifying. That's because London covers such a vast area. That American journalist hit the nail on the head when he said that at this rate it would take the Nazis 2,000 weeks to destroy London, and he didn't think that Hitler had another 40 years to live."
"Damn good," guffawed Sir Pellinore. "Damn good. All the same, as you've no job that ties you here, I wonder you don't clear out to the country."
"I loathe discomfort and boredom, but no amount of either would induce me to leave London when there are such thousands of poor people who cannot afford to do so," replied the Duke. The elderly baronet said,
"Of course, by staying on, one is able to keep in touch with things. The very fact of knowing a lot of people enables me to push the boat along here and there."
A mocking smile lit the Duke's grey eyes. "Perhaps, then, you would like to tell me in which particular direction you are now contemplating pushing my canoe."
"Ha ha!" Sir Pellinore brushed up his fine cavalry moustache. "I might have known you'd guess I didn't ask myself here for the sake of your drink and cigars. All right. I'm close to the War Cabinet. Some of the people there still seem to think I'm useful, although everybody knows I've no brains. I've always had an eye for a horse or pretty woman, and an infinite capacity for vintage port, but no brains, no brains at all."
"That," murmured the Duke, "accounts for the fact that after being compelled to leave the army because of your debts, somewhere way back in the 90s, you managed to amass a fortune of a cool 10 million. Am I to take it that you have been sent to see me?"
"No, but it amounts to the same thing. I had a hunch you might be the very man to help us in something that at the moment is giving the government very grave concern. Now, will you tell me what you've been up to?"
De Richelieu swiveled the brandy glass and replied, "Before Britain declared war on Germany, I flew with some friends of mine to Poland."
The fellows who accompanied you on your Russian and Spanish exploits. Yeah, I remember hearing about your adventures in the Forbidden Territory, and later that story of the £8 million in gold that the four of you got out of Spain during the Civil War. One was the son of old Chanuck Van Ryn, the American banker, wasn't he?"
"Rex Van Ryn, yes. The other two are Richard Eaton and Simon Aaron. Rex is an ace airman, and he managed to wangle his way into the Royal Air Force. In October, he ran into a flock of Nazis where the odds were 6-1, and they got him. His left leg was badly smashed. He's on the road to recovery now, but his wounds will prevent him from flying as a fighter pilot any more. Simon Aaron went back to his counting house. He's a director of one of our big financial houses. Richard, he went in at once for intensive farming.
He comes to London now and again to help me in one or two little jobs.
What sort of jobs?